Welcome to the Corey Lee Show, where our focus is on building leaders and transforming culture. My name is Corey Lee, and in each episode, I aspire to ignite something on the inside of you that encourages you to grow yourself and to make an impact on the world around you. Welcome to the Corey Lee Show. Hey guys, welcome back to the Corey Lee Show. Got an exciting solo cast today. That's right. It's just you and I on today's journey in this podcast. And I titled this podcast, What Does It Look Like to Be a Champion? What does it look like to be a champion? And as we jump off on this podcast episode, I want to read you The Man in the Arena by Teddy Roosevelt. I'm sure many people have heard this saying by him, but I love it. And I want to use it at the very beginning to kind of lay the foundation of where we're going in this episode. So this is called Man in the Arena. It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming. But who does actually strive to do the deeds? Who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. Man, I love that. That is so good. It's not the critic, not the armchair quarterback who can call out all the mistakes and the mess-ups of those people who just towed the line and stepped across the line to give it a go. Our kids, we were watching this thing on Netflix the other day. It's about the World Cup. And what was really interesting about it, we were watching this episode, the captain of the Croatia team was having a conversation with the goalie. And it's so powerful, I thought. The captain of the team came to the goalie and he said, man, I got to tell you something. Me and you got to have a conversation. And what I'm about to say, I'm only saying it because I care about you. I'm only saying it because I love you. And he said, man, you are one of the best goalies, but I see no growth in you. I don't see any growth in you. You have become complacent. You've become stagnant and you have become content. And the goalie, he received it, but he took a little bit of offense to it. And he made the statement like, well, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody messes up sometime. Everybody makes the mistakes. The captain says something very profound. He said, but that's not the point. See, what I see in you is somebody who's afraid to make the mistake. Somebody who is timid, who is fearful to toe the line, to just see how far I can go. Just how far can I reach? I wonder how much further I can go. I wonder how much better I can get. And that's what he was saying is, I see where you're at, but you seem a little timid to see how far you can go. And so what does it look like to be a champion? I want to read you guys out of 1 Samuel 17:25. Many of you, whether you've been to church your whole life or you ain't never been to church, you have probably heard this story to some extent that I'm about to read to you. It's about David and Goliath. David, one of the things about David, he was the king of Israel, but before he was king, he was a young shepherd boy. And I don't know if you've read many of the stories about David, but you think about yourself, if you're out there with the sheep in the wilderness and your job is to protect those sheep, to nurture them, lead them, and guide them. And he talked about how a bear and a lion came after his sheep and took one of his sheep. Now put yourself in that position right there. You're out there all alone in the wilderness and a lion comes and steals one of your sheep. What you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Well, I'll tell you what David did. David chased that thing down. David chased it down and it said he grabbed that thing by its beard. He killed it and took back what was his. That's pretty hardcore. He took out the lion and the bear, and then he takes out the giant. But I want to read you. There's something in here that I want to point out to you in 1 Samuel 17, 25. And so this is David. David's still a young shepherd boy. He's too young to be a part of the army. So while his older brothers are taking part in the battle, there's a battle between the Israelites and the Philistines. And his brothers go out to war while he stays at the house to tend the sheep. He's a little too young to be out in the army. And so his dad comes to him one day and says, "Hey, I want you to leave and go take some food to your brothers and to the army and check in to see how the battle is going. Check on your brothers." And so that's what he does. He leaves the sheep with a hired hand. He takes the food and goes and checks in on his brothers. And when he gets there, he comes across this scene right here, 1 Samuel 17, 25. There's this giant named Goliath that has been coming out for 40 days for 40 days, and he's been talking trash. He's been talking junk, and has got everybody afraid of him because he's a giant. He's big. And when David shows up, this giant comes out. He starts his normal trash talk, and everybody's running around afraid of this big giant. They're like, "Man, you see that dude? Look at that guy. Look at the muscles on that guy. Look how big he is." And so he's seeing all this fear, and he overhears this conversation. This is the conversation he overhears. "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king, will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." And David's like, "Come again? What was that? What was that again? What did you say the man would get for killing off this Philistine?" And so they tell him again, "The man, hey, the king done said whoever kills this giant, they get to be, wealthy. They get to marry the king's daughter, so they become royalty, and they never have to pay taxes again." And so David asked two other groups what the benefit was of killing this Philistine. Now, before I go any further, David did not pursue the giant simply for the benefits. He just wanted to know what he was about to be in possession of, because David was living from a higher truth. He just wanted to see what was about to be in his account, right? And so he says this, he asks this a couple of times, and the men say the same thing. But then check this out. Now his oldest brother Eliab heard him speaking to the men, and Eliab comes over to David and says, "Why did you come down here? And who did you leave those few sheep of yours with in the wilderness? I know your pride and your insolence of heart, for you come down to see the battle." And David said, "Man, what have I done now? Is there not a cause?" I love that. "Is there not a cause?" See, David's brother, he's basically saying, "What you doing here? Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are?" And David said, "I know exactly who I am, and I know exactly what I'm doing here." He said, "Is there not a cause?" And so when it comes to what does a champion look like, champions, they know who they are. See, champions don't go around trying to prove who they are. They don't have to go around trying to convince other people who they are. I like the way Coach Prime says it. Coach Prime says, "If you have to tell everybody you that dude, then you probably ain't that dude." See, there's a way in which champions carry themselves that puts other people on notice. The way they carry themselves causes people to say, "Man, there is something different about that dude right there. There is something different about that lady right there. He's got it. She's got it. He's got it." See, champions know they are champions. They live from a place of identity, not fighting for identity. You guys listening to this podcast, you guys are champions. If you listen to this podcast, that makes you a champion. And you need to know that. And you live from that place, not fighting for that place. And so, who would you say you are? If you and I were just talking, and we're just chilling, maybe at the coffee shop or something. And I would say, how would you identify yourself? What would you say? How would you identify yourself? I want to challenge you on something. I do this when I do one-on-one coaching a lot of times. Or in some of our retreats, I've done this before too. I call it life-defining moments timeline. And so what you do is you get out a sheet of paper, and you kind of graph out. And on one end, you put a line or a mark for year zero, and then you draw a line all the way out. And then on the other end of the line, you put your current age. So I would put 0 to 38, and in between, I would mark out 5-year increments. And so I have this timeline. And what I want to do is I want to look at these 5-year gaps of time, and I want to ask myself, what happened in those 5-year increments? What are some of the key moments that happened in my life in that moment? These are life-defining moments. They define who I am. They've gotten me to where I currently am. And I want to look at the good and the bad. I want to look at the good things and the bad things as well. Some of the biggest lessons that I have learned has come from the lessons I've learned through failure. So failure is not fatal. Failure is not final unless I stay down. And so when you do that, I want to challenge you to look back over the course of your life. And then I want you to ask the question, Lord, where were you at? And you'll begin to see themes in your life, and you'll begin to see the evidence of his presence and his goodness. I promise you, in your life, you'll start to see these themes and his presence in your life. And so from there, what I want you to do is I want you to create some identity statements. I want some I am statements, and I want you to say them out loud every day for 30 days. That's your homework, all right? I know you probably came to this podcast thinking you're going to passively listen, but I want to be actively engaged, right? Again, my goal is to build leaders and transform culture. We don't do that by sitting on the sidelines and just simply being passive participants. And so I want to challenge you to do this. Create your timeline and then create some I am statements based off of who do you desire to become and what you see based on the successes you've had. And then if you believe in the Lord, look at what he says in the Bible. Now, some of you, I know you may be thinking, oh, well, that sounds a little weird to me. That may sound a little weird to me. I don't know about that little short guy. But look, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world or the thinking of it, right? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, how in the world do you renew your mind? What you do is you take a new thought and you allow it to wash over an old belief. This is one way to do that. You allow that new belief to wash over an old belief. And so I'm going to just give you an example of some of my I am statements. This is simply as an example for you as you create yours. And so these are the ones that I say. I am a champion. I am a catalyst of transformation. My gifts make room for me. I am a miner of talent and extractor of potential. I'm a seeker, a seer, and seizer of opportunity. I am a man of action. You know what? I am a magnet for blessing. Surely in goodness, and mercy, they follow me every day of my life. I am blessed and highly favored. Every room that I walk into, the atmosphere changes because I carry the presence of the living God. I'm enthusiastic. People are drawn to my energy. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I radically influence nations. I am God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So when I think about champions, champions know exactly who they are, and they live from that place, not fighting for that place and trying to prove it. Hey guys, I hope you are enjoying this episode of the Corey Lee Show. Y'all, I am on a mission to build leaders and to transform culture. So if you're looking for a speaker who speaks directly to the heart, a mentor to come alongside you and your team, or if you're in a position where you're looking for a personal coach who embraces where you are and also believes in who you could become, then I would be honored to walk this path with you. Simply reach out to me on my email at Corey@CoreyLeeLeadership.com. Look, let's make your vision a reality. Contact me, and together we'll navigate the path from aspiration to achievement. Your transformation, it starts now. I also think that champions have a certain kind of attitude. There's a certain kind of attitude that champions have. Zig Ziglar said, "Your attitude will determine your altitude." How about that? My attitude, your attitude will determine how high I go in life, my career, whatever. And so champions have a certain attitude, and that attitude is an attitude of expecting to win. An attitude of expecting to win. Y'all, I watch some teams play and then they act surprised when they win. There is a huge difference between being excited about winning and being surprised when you do win. Champions expect to win. It doesn't matter who they play. It doesn't matter the reputation of the opponent or what all the opponent has accomplished up until that point. Champions have an expectation to win. You guys are champions. I also want to say this. I want you to know this, that when you are a true champion, the scoreboard cannot make you a winner or a loser. Coach John Wooden, he says it like this. He says, success is never final, failure is never fatal. It's courage that counts. He always put that emphasis on the process over the outcome. I got the opportunity to speak with a soccer team, a high school soccer team the other day. Actually, this is from that conversation I had with them. And I got the opportunity to speak with them. They were going up, they were in the playoffs. This was the third or fourth round. And going up against a team they, was supposed to be really, really good. And so I came in, and my goal was to add value to them, to inspire them, and to motivate them. And our son plays on the team, so I was at the game. And we went to this game, and y'all, that the team they played was the best team I had watched them play all year. That was the best team I had seen them play all year. And they ended up winning. The other team ended up winning. It's the best team I'd seen them play, but you know what? That was also the best I've seen our team play all year as well. They played their best and they played the entire game. They put out 100% effort. And the reason I wanted to call attention to that is what I was saying, when you're a true champion, the scoreboard cannot make you a winner or a loser. In that moment, they got an L in the loss column, but they were champions by the way they played. And as a young team, it gave them exactly the things that they needed to see where they needed to improve. If they want to get to that state championship level, now they know what they need to work on. And so a champion carries themselves with the expectation that everything they do, they expect to win. Success is expected. They prepare, they plan, and execute with excellence. They have the heart posture that if a task has been offered to them, then you know what? Then they operate under the assumption that there is not another person on the planet that can accomplish this task as well as they can. You know, it's not an arrogance thing, but an attitude of taking full responsibility and full ownership to what they are signing their name to. See, attitude is the difference maker when times get tough. Everybody has a good attitude when things go well. It's truly revealed during adversity. Adversity is the circumstances that reveals what lies beneath the surface. Champions are made to do the hard things. They were made for the difficult moments. See, they do not shy away or cower in the corner from difficult moments. They rise to the challenge. When adversity strikes, that critic that we talked about at the beginning, they like to say, "Why me? Oh, why me? Why me?" The champion says, "Why not me? And if not me, then who?" Look, y'all, there will be no change unless someone makes a change. And why not you? You were made to do big things. You were made for big, impactful things. You're made for such a time as this. I firmly believe that you are no accident, mistake, and that you were purposefully created during this generation for this generation. Mistakes, failures, accidents, all of that stuff, that is an event, not an identity statement. So you were made to weather the storms. Not only that, you were made to rise above them. The critic may faint during adversity. The critic may complain, whine, moan, or gossip, but that ain't no life for a champion like you. There's an attitude and an expectation that champions carry themselves with. They play to win the game, as Herm Edwards says. You play to win the game. Hello? See, they do not go through life hoping someday to make it to the end. They live their lives with purpose and with the intent to impact the world around them. They have no desire to live in such a way to safely arrive at death. You know, there are some people who die at age 30, but they aren't buried until age 75. When the record book on your life is complete, let it show the wins and losses, but do not allow it to show that you did not try. When I think about champions, champions also do not play down to the level of talent they are playing against. Champions believe that if the other team wants to win, then they better rise up because they aren't going to lay down. And this applies to us and how we respond to the culture around us. Do we allow the culture around us to influence us, or do we influence the culture? I've shared the analogy about the carrot, the egg, and the coffee bean, where you got a boiling pot, boiling pot of hot water. And let's say you got a carrot, an egg, and a coffee bean. And if you take that carrot and put it into the environment, it goes in hard, but it comes out soft. If you take that egg, on the inside of that egg, it's soft, but when it goes into the environment and comes out, it comes out hard. Goes in soft, comes out hard. But if you take that coffee bean and you put it into the boiling pot of hot water, it changes the water. See, the carrot and the egg were influenced by the environment. The coffee bean influences the environment. That's what champions do. I want to wrap up the First Samuel piece right here because there's some epic trash talk right here. And how many of you guys out there are trash talkers? Well, if you're the trash talker, you know what? I got you some new content. I want to give this to you. This is 1 Samuel 17, 42 through 47. And this is Goliath and David trash talking to each other. And so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And when he saw David, he had disdain for him, for he was only a boy. He was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. And so the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog? Am I a dog that you would come to me with sticks? You come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." How about that trash talk? David gives it back to him. David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But you know what? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head directly from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." How about that? And as you continue to read the story, you see that David backed up his talk with action. He took out the sling and the stone, hit that man in the forehead, knocked him out. Didn't kill him, knocked him out. He goes over and takes Goliath's sword from him and cuts off his head. How about that? I know it's a little bit gory, but hey, we're talking about trash talk, I guess. For you, I got a question for you, all right? And obviously, me and you are not sitting in the same place, so I can't hear your answer, but I would love for you to answer for you. What does it look like for you not to become, but to be more like a champion? See, there's a difference between becoming and being. Becoming is to put something off in the future. Being it is making it happen right now. What does it look like for you to be a champion? What do you need to start doing? How about what do you need to stop doing? Sometimes the stop doing is just as important as what to start doing. Hey, I hope today has added value to you. I hope that if this has added value to you, I would love to hear it. Make sure to like and subscribe so you can stay up to date. And if it has added value to you, comment, share your comments below, or maybe you can email me as well. But I hope today has added value to you. I hope you have an awesome day and God bless. 3, 2, 1. Okay. Thanks for joining me today. I hope I have added value to you. And if you have found value in this episode, let me know. Drop a comment and make sure you share with a friend or family member. See you next episode.